Give me the fortune, keep the fame, said my man Lewis. I agreed, know what he mean, because we live the truest lie. I asked him why we follow the law of the bluest eye. He looked at me, he thought about it, was like I'm clueless. Why? The question was rhetorical, the answer is horrible. Our morals are out of place, I got a lot full of sorrow. And so tomorrow coming later than usual, waiting on someone to pity us. While we find the beauty in the hideous, they say money's the root of all evil, but I can't tell, you know what I mean? Pesos.
Good morning. Welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, better known as Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. And now, music, like poetry, has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. Words have meanings that we can all comprehend, like definitions. News can create a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking you to pull back the curtain and see a different perspective of our contributions, and you will find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, vibrations in fact. So thank you once again for joining us to hear information concerning our diaspora. Now today's program will take a look into Frederick Douglass and Benjamin Banneker's lives. We will examine their contributions to our diaspora, and we will be defining the meaning of economics and social justice, just to take a look at how these words' meanings have affected our community. Mental slavery is, in fact, a mental health issue in our community. So we will be providing an antidote by means of a story to provide encouragement for our listeners. Finally, musically, and music has always been an integral part of our community, so we will be listening to the sounds of Mos Def, better known as Yasin Bey. Thank you once again. Don't you go anywhere. Keep it locked.
fighting, no more sleeping in bed.
I want to take this moment to ask each and every one of our team members to make sure you introduce yourself to the audience so that they know who you are. We are Quest Community Vibrations, and I go by the name of Dr. Richard Bombay, PhD of Musicology. And now, our student host.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. Live on 89.5 WSOU. And as Mr. Bay said in the beginning, we're going to be going into and talking about Frederick Douglass for today. And before I get into Frederick Douglass, I want to read the intro for Diamonds. And see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, for Frederick Douglass today, I'm going to be talking about a man by the name of Stephen Cole, who is using his platform as his platform on Facebook to be able to portray himself and basically talk about the history of Frederick Douglass and encourage people, you know, to learn the same and dig even deeper to get the understanding of their history. So let's get into it. Stephen Cole of Ironwood, Michigan, has spent more than 30 years portraying Frederick Douglass, who was one of the most prominent civil rights figures in history. During Black History Month, Cole, a Freeport native, is busy doing his portrayals online all over the country. Cole is a third-generation great-grandson of an escaped slave and a fifth great-grandson of an African-American Revolutionary War veteran, a historian, and a retired Union tradesman. He said, growing up in Freeport, he always was aware of the history of the famous Lincoln-Douglas debates. But when he learned that it was Frederick Douglass, who also made two famous speeches in Stephenson County, Poe began his research into a man that had a pivotal role in American history. Frederick Douglass made a speech in 1854, which was often overshadowed by the Lincoln-Stephen A. Douglass debates. There are many Lincoln-Douglass reenactors, but few Frederick Douglass portrayals. Frederick Douglass was a witness to one of Stephen A. Douglass' speeches years later. He came to Freeport after appearing at many other places in the country and in Great Britain. Frederick Douglass worked with white abolitionists and black abolitionists. Douglass, who escaped slavery in Maryland, taught himself how to read and write. He spent his life advocating for social justice and equal rights. Douglass believed in the Constitution as it was written. The first time Douglass came to Freeport was appearing at what was Union School in 1853, and he was later invited by John Adams, the father of Jane Adams, Oscar Taylor Jr., and Dexter Knowlton to come back to Freeport. And Knowlton hosted Douglass in his home on the same day Stephen A. Douglass spoke in Freeport. Cole said, as a historian of Douglass, he continues to investigate the true and accurate and intersperse the fact into his portrayal of Douglass. I've learned to use words to respond in character through his philosophy. The most important fact is black people have different viewpoints, and Douglass did not want to just be known as a black man, but as a man. Douglass stood up with courage and was often denounced for standing for the principles of the Constitution. He often stood alone and through a lawyer became a freedman and printed his own newspaper. He believed any injustice was wrong, and we as a country continue to build up false walls of race. I am a man like Douglass who stands up for what I believe in as long as it's true and accurate. Because of COVID-19, Douglass does most of his, Stephen A. Cole does most of his portrayals through a Facebook and Zoom. For the month of February, he is posting on his Facebook page, Stephen A. Cole. And, you know, you could watch those videos to be able to get a better understanding of Frederick Douglass and the reenactments he does. And that concludes my segment on Frederick Douglass. I want to thank everybody for listening. And this article is just to help people, to encourage people to go out and research about their history so that we could get a better understanding of how life was and how our people was treated. And again, thank you for listening. And this is student host Walter Pierce.
Thank you. Walter, do I have your permission to read a quick speech from Frederick Douglass about what to the American slave is the 4th of July?
Yes, go ahead.
I answer today that reveals to him more than all other days in the year the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham, your boasted liberty an unholy license, your national greatness swelling vanity, your sounds of rejoicing are empty and heartless. Your denunciation of tyrants, brass-fronted imprudence, your shouts of liberty and equality, hollow mockery, your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgiving, all your religious parades and solemnity are to him mere bombast, fraud, deception, impotency, and hypocrisy, a vain veil to cover up crimes which would disgrace a nation of savages. There is not a nation on the earth guilty of practices more shocking and bloody than are the people of the United States at this very hour. I quote Frederick Douglass in a speech on the 4th of July. And I must add, when he said that speech, Walter, it was in front of a group of all European people, you know, in our country on the 4th of July. And they actually said to him, you know, how on earth could you make such a speech on this holiday? What gives you the right? You're a free black man. And at that moment, Frederick Douglass took off his jacket and his shirt, and he turned around and showed the audience the whips and welts on his back, and the audience fell silent. And at this moment in time of our program, as we continue musically. Now we bring on our next student host. Please introduce yourself.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Christopher Rich. Good to speak to y'all this morning. Happy Black History Day. What I have for you today is a diamond on Benjamin Banneker. Benjamin Banneker. Benjamin Banneker was a free African-American almanac author, a surveyor, a land owner, and a farmer who had knowledge of mathematics and natural history. Born in Baltimore City, Maryland, to a free African-American woman and a former slave, Banneker had little to no formal education and was largely self-taught. He became assistant major Andrew Ellicott and a survey that established the original borders of the District of Columbia, the federal capital district of the United States. Banneker's knowledge of astronomy helped him author a commercially successful series of almanacs. He also corresponded with Thomas Jefferson on topics of slavery and racial equality. Jefferson, having early drafted the United States Declaration of Independence, abolitionist advocates of racial equality promoted and praised Banneker's works. Although a fire on the day of Banneker's funeral destroyed many of his papers and belongings, one of his journals and several of his remaining artifacts are presently available for public viewing. Parks, schools, streets, and other tributes commemorate him and his works. But those are the things that many people already knew about Benjamin Banneker. And what was not known to many people is his lineage. He come from a long, long line of family that prepared him, his birth particularly, to come about. His great-great-great-great-great-grandmother, Molly Banneker, was a slave and early on. About 1753, but she was sentenced to death. Well, she was put to be sentenced to death because she was milking the cow, and a bucket was knocked over, and she was she was told that she was being a thief. So she was said to, she was going to court to be sentenced to death. But she ended up not going, being sentenced to death and given an ox with a hitch to be set up and settled on her own land. Ultimately, what she did was she settled down and had a family, and the agriculture that she knew, she was real good with agriculture. She taught to her children, and irrigation was taught to her children and passed down through lineage, even through down to Benjamin Banneker. But he didn't only have the ability of irrigation. He was a mathematician, an astronomer, and a civil rights activist in his time. But those are amazing factors that his family had also fought to situate the Benjamin Banneker in Baltimore. He has I'm sorry. So that was the
tuned to Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. And just to give you a little bit more background, Chris, as you were trying to put it together, Molly Banneke is his great-great-grandmother, and he is Benjamin Banneker. And what had happened is she was living in England, in the UK, and she was an indentured servant there. And as she was milking the cow one morning, the cow was ornery that particular morning, and she actually spilt the milk. Her owner at that time decided that that was thievery. If you spilt the milk, then the punishment for that was death. And so she ended up in the court. Now, in England, if you were able to read, you could escape the gallows. And so she was able to read the Bible and escape the gallows, but she wasn't able to escape exile, where she was sent to America as an indentured servant. And after working off her time as an indentured servant, she was given a plot of land in America along with a horse. And what her problem was is she was just one person. And so she decided to go down to the docks and purchase a slave one particular day. And she actually purchased Benjamin Banneker's great-great-grandfather, who had come from kings and was a prince himself. And he understood irrigation. And as he worked on her land, they eventually fell in love and had children. And all of the neighbors, he shared his skill with all of the neighbors in the neighborhood. So they never told all of this mixed marriage that was going on. And make a long story short, his great-great-grandmother made sure that they remained free and that she passed down the skills that she had learned from her husband to her children, and they passed it on to their children's children. And so I say all of that to say that Benjamin Banneker, through his lineage, became a project that was no accident for a person that we are named and proud to speak of today. And now I turn it back over to our student host, Walter Pierce.
Yes, and, you know, welcome back, everybody. We're almost to that halfway point of the show, but, you know, I want to get into my definitions for today, which is economy. But before I get into that, let me read the intro. Definition. This segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. Now, for my definition of today, like again it was said in the beginning of the show, it is economy. And economy is the wealth and resources of a country or region, especially in terms of a production and consumption of goods and services. Now, you know, why I wanted to bring up this definition for today is really because I wanted to bring up the history of African Americans in this country dealing with the economy, or basically, you know, money and wealth. But the problem with that is how we were already put into poverty, and how people today, you know, they say, you know, work harder and you'll get to that level. You know, just stop being lazy and stop blaming history for your poverty. But that is a big issue for people to say that, because, you know, the reason people who are especially white are so ahead of us is because of the resource they were given after emancipation. So, you know, let me go a little bit back into the history of it. You know, I was reading, doing a little bit of research and reading this article, and, you know, basically it really started with the Homestead Act, you know, signed by President Abraham Lincoln, which granted over 2 million acres of land, Western land, you know, to families in America, which were basically all families who were either whites or families of immigrants coming into the country. And, you know, the problem with that is, even though they tried, even though it was a very small majority, they tried to give it to, you know, African Americans who were down in the South. A lot of the land was damaged, you know, and the problem was, since African Americans were just coming out of emancipation, it was hard. They didn't really know how to deal with government, deal with wealth and money. So you're just basically giving them this land with no direction. You know, they're not going to be able to keep up with it and maintain it. So, you know, that's the reason why, you know, a lot of people in our country who are African American does not have a lot of wealth, and why a lot of us was in poverty. And even if you keep going on, it was also this other number where 46 million Americans today could trace back their history and find out that, you know, one of the families who were part of the Homestead Act actually had land and wealth. And those 46 million include white people in this country. So just in all, just, you know, to conclude this segment, I just want to say, you know, the reason for the majority of wealth being in the white communities is because of really the Homestead Act and other things that play a part, of course. But really, that was really the thing that allowed a lot of white people to own a lot of land all over the country, and wealth being passed down generations to their families, and why a lot of their families already had wealth just coming in and being born, you know, which a lot of African Americans who are wealthy had to really work very hard for. So that concludes my segment. I thank you for listening. I'm your host, Walter Pierce, on 89.5 WSOU.
Okay. Great job, Walter, as we continue with the sound of Marvin Gaye. This is Quest Community Vibration on 89.5 FM. Thank you. definition, this segment provides the listeners with words and meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say that we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. And we must define our existence and not have it defined for us. Today's definition, to go along with the economics of a people in this country, is the word, or two words, social justice. In meaning, social justice is simple: fair treatment of all people in society, including respect for the rights of minorities and equitable distribution of resources among members of a community. And so when we talk about social justice and we reflect back to Walter and his segment about economics, we can clearly see that there has never really been in America fair practices and social justice for African-Americans who were brought here unwillingly as prisoners of war, or what people refer to, which I think is a misnomer, slavery. At this time, I would like to bring in Tanisha Gardner, and I know she's on the line, and just to give us an update, because we've definitely passed the halfway point of our show, and let us know what you think from what you've heard so far. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. The show is very good. It was definitely deep about Benjamin Banneker and definitely Frederick Douglass, that they overcame those tremendous obstacles. And I guess that's what our ancestors are teaching us. No matter what people might say or think or try to do to us, you have to know who you are, and you have to persevere and push forward. Even with the economy, how we had Black Wall Street. Black Wall Street was very powerful, and how they understood economical wealth. So we understand. We just have to trace back and know what we're doing, and have a plan and execute our plan. And that's how we become successful and keep pushing. No matter what might obstacles come in our way, we have to overcome.
Thank you very much for your input. And now, as we continue musically, you're tuned to Quest Vibration live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange, WSOUHD. My vision is clear.
Come on, don't stop now, girl. I know it's good. Whole lot of fun going on. Come on, girl. There's something going round inside my head. I think it's something I see. Something unseen. So I see my world upside down. But there is nothing to see.
Companies have grown rich from the support of our community, but what benefits has these people done that helped our community? Today, we pull the curtain on another one of my favorite rappers turned actor, or is that the other way around? Yasin Bey, a.k.a. Mos Def, was born Dante Terrell Smith in December 1973 in Brooklyn, New York, the oldest of 12 kids. He was raised by his mother, who he calls Umi, in Brooklyn's Roosevelt housing projects. Growing up, like most of us, he made the most of his surroundings. At the age of 6, he already started rapping and acting. His music career began by forming a group called the Urban Thermodynamics with his younger siblings. The group had a couple singles until he took off on a solo career. Most of those Mos Def's earnings in films and television roles were kind of sporadic. He began turning his attention toward music, which was also a childhood passion. He began writing rhymes in grade school, at first as a desperate act of survival, and then in his early 20s, he changed his name to Mos Def, which was short for his favorite saying, most definitely, which was his typical response when his friends asked him if he wanted to hang out. In 1995, he met members of De La Soul and was invited to join the Native Tongue Posse. At the same time, he worked at a Brooklyn bookstore called Nkuru Books, along with another up-and-coming rapper named Talib Kweli. They later became co-owners of the bookstore. The pair also started creating rhymes, and in 1998, they released the politically based album called Mos Def and Talib Kweli Are Black Star. The album became a cosmic phenomenon. The Black Star albums created quite a buzz in the hip-hop community, but Mos Def left that behind to concentrate on acting once again. He earned roles in Bamboozled, which was directed by Spike Lee, Monster Ball, starring Halle Berry, The 2000 Brown Sugar, and The Woodsman, along with many others. For his role in The Woodsman, though, he earned the Black Reel Award for the best actor in an independent film. You know, along with the ups, there were some downs. He was accused of anti-Semitism in 2004 when he rapped that some tall Israeli is running his rap game, which was a reference to an Israeli music executive, Leonard Cohen, that Def singled out, together with white man in general, corporate greed and drugs, as the main reasons for the decline of hip-hop. You know, even through that, he was an active member of the recovery of the oil spill in the Gulf, performing concerts, raising money towards the repair of the damages. In June of 2010, he recorded a cover of a classic New Orleans song, It Ain't My Fault, with the Preservation Hall Jazz Band, Lenny Kravitz, and Trombone Shorty. He's also an active contributing member to Common's Common Ground Foundation. Mos Def's idea about the world without borders was challenged by the South African immigration officials. The Department of Homeland Security there said that he was, or labeled him, an undesirable person in November of 2015 after he tried to leave the country using a world passport, which is an idealistic travel document issued by an organization promoting a world without borders. His latest endeavor was a series of international art presentations called Negus, which was not released on any digital or analog medium. This art exhibit acknowledges the importance of hip-hop as a fundamental American art form by making the 8-track, 28-minute recording available without distractions of technology. Upon entering the gallery, visitors was given a case in which to lock their mobile devices. In addition to Negus, the exhibit included artworks by various local and international artists. Now, Negus takes his name from the word for king or ruler in one of the ancient Semitic languages of Ethiopia. The brother has been down with a lot of stuff for a long time. He's always been one of my favorite rappers, and I would love to hear some Yasin Bey later if it was up to me. Yasin Bey, Mos Def, Black Dante.
I don't want to write this down. I want to tell you how I feel right now. I don't want to take no time to write this down. I want to tell you how I feel right now. Hey, tomorrow may never come for you or me. Life is not a promise. Tomorrow may never show up for you and me. This life. Put my heart and soul into the song.
Yes, yes.
I hope you feel me where I am and wherever you are. I mean that sincerely. Tomorrow may never come. For you and me, life is not a promise. Tomorrow may never appear. You better hold this very moment. feel like a man. Times I just want a quiet life, me and my baby, me and my lady. Times I don't want to get in the snowball. Times I don't want to be a soldier. Times I just want to be a man. Pull me safe, shine your light on the world. Shine your light.
Now it's time for our next segment of Chains of Events. I'd like to remind you that you're tuned to Quest Community Vibration on 89.5 FM HD. Chains of Events is an interpretation of news as it affects the minority community from the alloys of Newark. It is a report on events in politics, education, law, business, religion, and science. Chains of Events reveals the interpretation of one event to another so that you, that's right, our Quest listenership will know what's happening. This morning's topic for Chains of Events, like last week, is mental slavery. Now, mental slavery, like I said in the introduction, is a mental health problem. Now, quickly, I refer to the fable of the eagle and the chicken. You see, this particular fable was told of an eagle that thought he was a chicken. And when the eagle was very small, he fell from the safety of the nest. A chicken farmer found the eagle's egg, that is, and brought it back to his farm, where he raised him as a chicken in the coop among many other chickens. Now, to move on with the story quickly, eventually the egg was hatched and the eagle lived with the other birds, or chickens, that is. Now, one day, a naturalist returned to find, you know, he questioned why this eagle was with the chicken. And so what he did was actually took the chicken, not the chicken, but the eagle out of the coop the next morning. And he took the eagle, I just keep on calling the eagle a chicken. Mentally, the eagle felt or thought that he was a chicken. You couldn't convince him that he wasn't. But a naturalist returned the next morning to the chicken farm and took the eagle and the farmer some distance away to the foot of a high mountain. Now, they could not see the farm nor the chicken coop from this setting. The man held the eagle on his arm and pointed high into the sky where the bright sun was beckoning above. He spoke, "Eagle, thou art an eagle. Thou dost belong to the sky and not to the earth. Stretch forth thy wings and fly." This time the eagle stared skyward into the bright sun, straightened his large body, and stretched his massive wings. His wings moved slowly at first, and then surely and powerfully. With the might screech of an eagle, he flew. Now, I would like to refer to Mr. Harris to give us the moral of that particular story, if you can.
Well, it seems to me that if you're in the surroundings of what you've always been brought up to believe is true, once you remove yourself from that, you might be able to consider other options, But as long as you're within that environment, you're going to believe what everybody else believed. That peer pressure is strong. And, you know, once he got up on that mountain and saw what his real potential was, he was able to stretch his wings and fly. And that's a moral for me and you and everybody else listening. Don't let your community or your environment dictate who you are.
And referring back to Frederick Douglass, one of his famous quotes was, "Knowledge is indeed," and I'm not quoting it completely and accurately, but this is what it meant. Knowledge is actually freedom. Knowledge is the top of that mountain what will set you free to live to your full potential. I'd like to bring Miss Tanisha Gardner back on to give us our last summary of how we've done so far.
Definitely good. I have a quote from Marcus Garvey. It says, liberate the minds of men, and ultimately you will liberate the bodies of men. So liberate your mind, you can liberate your soul and your body.
And Walter, from what you've heard, putting it all together, what have you learned and what is your interpretation of today's program?
You know, again, a lot of good information being passed around for everybody to get a good understanding of. But what I constantly keep learning is to keep doing research and to keep learning and expanding your knowledge on your own so that you are not fazed by people's biased opinions and learn to develop your own. So that is what I've learned for today's show.
And Mr. Harris, what is your question or comment for the entire show for today?
It was beautiful for me. The Frederick Douglass, the Benjamin Banneker sections, they really speak to who we were, how we overcame whatever our conditions were. And it's a model that we need to follow and understand that our struggle continues.
Okay. I'd like to ask Chris, who is back on the line with us, have you heard the entire show? And what do you think? You have a quick comment.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, the show was definitely good. The information was awesome. You know, thanks for backing me up on Benjamin Banneker. That's some important information. I'm glad you was able to get it out there for the listeners. Tanisha offered some great advice as well as the brother that just got finished speaking too. But, yep, great show.
Walter, close us out.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 WSOU. The message for today's show is to continue to research and continue to get an understanding of your history, because especially for this month of February, which is Black History Month. But besides that, our motto is Quest Youth Radio is the best
youth radio.